Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
In the flesh, he's in the building. This is the beginning of the weekend. Leroy Mark, what are we watching this week? Hello, Leroy.
Hello, how are you?
I'm so happy to see you.
I'm happy to see you too.
You know we love seeing you.
Yeah, I've also realized that
you bring everything. You bring sunshine, the weekend, joy. Entertainment.
Yo, it sets me up. I also feel like the weekend has begun when I leave here because wow, isn't every week the week?
Bona. I have found your selection so interesting.
Really?
I actually have.
Yeah? Okay. Which one did you find the most interesting?
I will say... Actually, I found a lot of your stuff.
Yeah.
So I found Conclave interesting.
So Conclave is a pet of mine because I have a weird fascination with the institution of the papacy.
Let me tell you, it's fascinating.
I can't get my head around it. It was sparked really by the Da Vinci Code, the movie then followed with Tom Hanks. And this is a similar time. Mm. We're in the time of, you know, Te Pacente Vacate. There's the vacant throne now because the Pope.
It
has my favorite actor in Stanley
Tucci. It's great. It's really great.
So the interesting thing is that you start to see... So the reviews have actually been very diabolical. Because people are actually very hurt. Because once you've watched the movie, you'll start seeing that there's some things that if you're a devout Christian, you're going to find very egregious.
So it's the Catholics who are finding it...
Yeah. And Catholic doctrine. If you follow Catholic doctrine as it is, you will find it very difficult.
I'm Catholic, and I live for this stuff.
And I was raised Catholic, so
I live for this stuff because just because you are,
doesn't
mean that you cannot see your own dirty laundry.
And it's the interesting thing because the seneschal, which is like the preferred ones to be the next pope, right? Because the pope has passed away, so we've got this time where the grand selector is the guy who's basically going to preside over the choosing of the next pope. Mm. So he's ineligible, but he has to he's managing this whole thing. Mm. So the seneschal, these guys who are preferred to be to succeed the deceased pope. There's lots of issues with each of them, but they're so interesting because each of them are like the four horsemen of the apocalypse, right? They've got their own little issues going on. They've got their own idiosyncrasies. And we see the ones that we like. You see the one that you don't really like. And then the twist at the end, obviously, is very jarring because you find that the one that you did like or did not like...
And they've got their own politics too.
They've got their own politics. But it's also interesting to see them as human, you know?
Yes! It's the Vatican!
At the Vatican.
I mean, the Vatican, guys.
But at the seat of the Holy Father, you know, you're expecting that there's a certain level of divinity that comes with it.
Never.
I always think...
These are as human as all of us are.
My favorite scene is when they're just about to go into conclave and they're about to seal the room in conclave. And all the cardinals...
start smoking.
In the foyer... They're all chain smoking because we don't know how long conclave will be.
Yes.
You know, conclave can be an hour, it can be 5 days, it can be 3 weeks. So they're all sitting there going, let's just make sure we get our nicotine in. But the interesting thing also, you start seeing, the end is going to jar you.
Yeah.
Especially if you are easily offended by your religious beliefs being questioned.
Yes.
I found it very shocked. One particular lady who's Jewish said, I'm a Jewish woman and I'm offended on behalf of all Catholics. Mm. But I think it's also interesting to see where the Catholic Church is, which is, I think it's always been the issue of the time, where the church is vis-a-vis where we are as a community, right?
Mm-hmm.
20 years ago, the issue of gay marriage, of, you know, body autonomy, abortion, all those things that in Catholic doctrine are frowned upon have made it into laws.
Well, you've got to see the Catholic Church like a government.
Yes.
You know, an institution of a time.
Yes.
Like governments, they run, like it's an institution.
It is.
With its flaws, with its, you know, and with its heads who come at a particular time and bring a certain influence and govern it in a certain way. And how it evolves itself. And of course, like any other institution, they look back and there are horrific times.
Yes.
There are horrific times. So if you're offended now, maybe 20 years from now...
You won't be offended.
The church itself will be offended by itself.
You know look back and be offended
because,
by yourself.
Because you've had those eras where they go back and they say, we apologize.
We shouldn't have done that.
For a period, this particular period, we did X, Y, Z.
Especially because...
It's happened many times. So I don't think people... I usually find people who take serious offense, like they... Serious offense. Mm-hmm. It's you haven't learned anything from history. Because the church many times has had to go back and say, we are sorry.
But what do we do then, or what do we say when the institution of the church is one story, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's long wearing mm-hmm. and the whole, every individual person and piece in it is there to uphold mm-hmm. the church. What happens when the Holy See, the Father, the mm-hmm. one who is the, you know, mm-hmm. please call me between me and God. Mm-hmm. How do we deal with that when the person mm-hmm. is compromised or is but the, other, you know?
But look at history, guys.
You know?
We forget. I mean, the popes were like, they used to go into war.
Yes.
They used to take sides with nations. They were part of, you know, killing other nations and so on. So, I don't know. I think once we get over the idea of a pope being the direct link to God, then you're fine.
And I think what happens with conclave, what it does is humanize, because we now realize that it's an election. Like no other.
It's like an election.
Like our May 29th election.
Correct.
Like the November election in the US. But I found it so intriguing because... And I need you to watch the end of the movie because you will grab onto your seat. And I know you're not a stickler. I know you have an open mind. I profess myself. Can you say, hi? Hey, well,
Johnny. I can't do
more than twice. But it comes out on 25th of October in theaters. It's called Conclave.
So we're working through this in a way that kind of says number one, number two.
Yeah.
In a way. Mm. We live in time.
We live in time. So this is very interesting to me. And also, this did very well in Cannes. So in the Cannes Film Festival, this one was one that was in the Toronto Film Festival.
Yeah, I also think this was a good film.
I was intrigued by how the story was told. Mm-hmm. So it's these two people who meet in very extraordinary circumstances and the love sparks between the two of them. The storyline is very basic in its beginning to end, you know, and I won't spoil it. But what was very interesting about it is that these two characters come together, one of the characters falls ill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we're dealing with this illness, and in the dealing with the illness, they find the solace in each other. Mm. But for me, it's become sort of the story of the day: how a lot comes from hardship, and relationships are built or broken over hardships. You know, and when you start looking at how, and then the hardship that comes back again, and now we have to deal with it another time, and how do we manage this? And there's an interesting part or storyline in the movie where one of the characters enters a cooking competition, and for me it was almost a movie in a movie.
You know what endeared me to this film for me is in an era where there's so much gloss.
Yeah,
your Barbie films, we've spoken about many of those, and some of the many franchises that we see, and so much money that goes into some of these films. I really enjoy a down to earth film, and this for me is one of those.
Yeah,
just downright down to earth film. As you said, the storyline is nothing new.
Yeah.
There's nothing new here, but sometimes it's the humanness. Just that's all. That basic, just sort of rustic, very, very okay, very basic story. That actually will do it for me.
What I heard when I was watching this was your voice saying, I can relate to that.
Yeah.
And you don't need to be in the circumstances for you to be severely affected by them. But what you're saying is so true. That I think what happens with the whole point of telling stories is for us to see ourselves mirrored in them and also escape a bit. And for me, this was interesting to see a love that was able to transcend certain hurdles, but also to see just how when you decide to fall in love with a person, you fall in love with all their flaws and their future
And their baggage.
Yes. But I also think it's a wonderful, as you say, it's a wonderfully wholesome.
Down to earth, wholesome.
My mom calls them brown onion soup.
Yeah, it's very brown onion soup. And sometimes it's enough.
It's just enough.
It's enough.
So I was very surprised by how much I enjoyed it because of just the lack of the complexity. It runs tomorrow in theaters.
What did you make of The Apprentice?
So this was actually when I watched the movie and I saw the trailers and started getting into what's happening. So this is The Apprentice, modeled after the biopic of Donald Trump. And it's almost like an origin story where you see where he became the villain, in my opinion. And I know that not everyone agrees with my views about him as a character, but you must really enjoy seeing how he became the person that he is. Mm. I mean, he is very complicated. Well, every time I hear him, I'm so surprised at how much he believes himself, right? Like, there's times that you go, and so you start seeing a bit of that. And the biopic is not new, but for me, it's interesting because it's retold just before the election.
Yes, of course.
And we're getting... Just to give you context, the Australian media are running a whole series of like Kamala Harris short clips, as it were. So there's a show called 60 Minutes that's always running around. And this is almost like a response to that because they're saying, oh, because it goes to Kamala's school career, her best friend, and. Mm. And Donald Arenorama, watch.
I've got an entire film for you.
So it runs, if you like, tomorrow in theatres, where you see a young Donald Trump building his life in New York.
Amelia Perez.
Okay, this was my favourite because you know I'm not a musical person.
Yes.
I generally really don't even enjoy the whole premise. This movie is a lot of things in one, but it's actually very interesting to watch because it's a weird escapism. So the story revolves very simply around this woman who's a mafia boss.
Yes.
She wants to break out of this career. She wants a new career. So she enlists the help of this young lady who's a lawyer who's going to facilitate the transition, and I use the word very deliberately, from her being a mafia boss and into this new life and also into her being, you know, her true being. And the music adds to the storytelling. Remember we were talking about the Joker last time, the Folie à Deux?
Yes.
Where it was detracting from the story. It was all jarring.
Yes.
This is the complete opposite. Yeah. This is a biscuit with your coffee. This is just a great accompaniment. And for someone who doesn't like musicals, saying a lot. And I enjoyed that so I was in America many years ago, and first time in America, the first thing I realized when you turn the TV on and it landed on a Spanish telenovela station, and I couldn't be bothered. I made the mistake of sitting down, Pamelo, and watched 3 minutes, which became 30 minutes, which became three hours. This is one of those where you go, I really shouldn't be watching this.
And then you just keep saying.
And now you're like, when someone walks in,
I can't leave.
Let me tell you, Juanita is actually Tandega's sister. And it's one of those you absolutely enjoy. It's called Emilia Perez. And this is getting an Oscar nod. It's part of the Oscar buzz. It did very well at Cannes.
Really?
Translated, it's Spanish and French. So it's also a nice mixture, but it's also a few genres involved. So it's going to be coming up.
I'll be watching.
On Netflix. Looking forward to it.
When is it coming up?
November 1st.
Okay, fantastic. Courtyard at the Market Theatre.
So, stories of... I went to school up the road in boarding school and I had to leave home fairly young. But it wasn't... I always think of home with nostalgia. I always think about a place, and I think we all do, where home is a place to be. Imagine then having a child who leaves home because he's being abused at home and he finds home in a courtyard where he gets this wonderful mentor. And the story of the courtyard at the Market Theatre is about that, about this young boy from Phuthaditjhaba in Qwaq. And let me tell you why it's important for me that the corners of South Africa need to be given enough, you know. But it's also done in the style of John Gani, Winston and Jonah in The Island, where it's very minimal, it's very bare. So you really get into the story. Very basic lighting. The blocking itself is very clear, very physical theatre. But you start enjoying the humour and the skill of the spoken word, and also how they use their bodies, and also how you start coping with humour when things are a bit difficult. And it's a very South African thing to do. When things go rough, we just need some things. You know, Auntie Evita Poseidonhout has made a living out of making us laugh through our traumas. Yeah. So it is on at the Market Theatre from the 10th to the 27th of October. Get your tickets online.
You've given us such a treat. Thank you, Leroy.
It's an absolute pleasure. I'll see you next week.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.